Hey, Elmo, welcome to At the Hop.
Hey, great to be with you, Kevin.
You're welcome. How did Dr. Elmo come to be?
Well, I was a veterinarian for a while, and my last name, Shropshire, is so hard to say that most of my patients started calling me Dr. Elmo. Actually, but the patients' owners, the patients themselves didn't call me Dr. Elmo.
That's excellent. How did you get started in the entertainment field?
I started late, and while I was a veterinarian, one time I saw this bluegrass band, and I really liked them. They were called the Styx River Ferry, and they played around San Francisco, and so I started going to a lot of their gigs. And then they said, you know, if you like the music so much, you should try and play it. So when I was about maybe 33, 34 years old, I started playing the banjo. And I never did want to sing, but we got a little band together after that, and nobody wanted to sing, so I started singing a little bit, and that's how I got started in show business.
That's excellent. Did you have any records or hits in that bluegrass band?
No, we didn't start. We did make a couple of bluegrass recordings, and then after that, I started singing funny songs later on because it just seemed like, you know, I wasn't a ballad singer in the vein of Frank Sinatra or Frankie Valli or anyone like that.
Yeah.
So whenever I would sing a serious song, people would snicker a little bit and laugh. And so I thought I should go with the flow and just start singing funny songs. It seemed like that was the best thing that I was suited for.
Yeah. How did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer come to first begin?
Well, when I was singing some of the funny songs that I was doing, I was playing at this, up at Lake Tahoe, a place called Hyatt Lake Tahoe. And when I got there, there was a big blizzard, and the band that was leaving, couldn't leave. And so when I did my show that night, a guy came up to me afterwards, and he said, my name's Randy Brooks, and I have a song that I think it would be perfect for you to sing. And so he sat down and played Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and I loved it. I thought, yeah, you know, if nothing else, this should get everyone's attention. And it has gotten everyone's attention now for maybe 31 years.
That's excellent. Where was it recorded?
I recorded it in close to San Francisco, in a little town called Alameda. It's over in the East Bay next to San Francisco. That was the first recording of it. There was just three of us on the recording. There was just guitar, bass, and me singing, and I think maybe a small snare drum. And then a few years later, and that was in 1979, and then in 1982, I made another recording. I was trying to get a major record company to distribute it, so I made another recording that had some more instruments, had a piano and, you know, bass, guitar, and more voices on it. So we made a slicker version of it then.
Yeah. Where was the record first heard? Like, what stations first played it?
In San Francisco, there was a station called KSFO, and the number one ranked disc jockey and station in San Francisco was, the disc jockey was named Gene Nelson, and he played it, and a lot of people called in and, you know, said they wanted to hear it again. A lot of other people called in and said they didn't want to hear it, and the program director told him to stop playing it. But back in that day, Gene carried more weight than the program director. So he kept playing it, and everyone, you know, started requesting it, and, you know, there was a lot of controversy over it, and some people said they never wanted to hear it again, and other people said they did want to hear it again, and so that's where it was born. That was in 1979.
Yeah. Was the song banned, or did people just not want to play it?
Yes. Gene Nelson went on vacation on December 20th, and they banned it from the air right after he went on vacation. And that was the only play it got in 1979. And then in 1980, there were some other people that got wind of it, and they started taping it from station to station. I didn't have a record company or anything, and I didn't have the wherewithal to even think about sending the records out to other radio stations. But when Gene started playing it again in 1980, other radio stations started calling in, and he would and they could tape it from his playing of it.
That's excellent. When was it finally accepted?
Well, there was quite a radio buzz on it from 1979 through about 1983, but it wasn't distributed in stores or anything. Nobody could buy it. But then in 1983, I made a video of it in my living room. It was expensive to make it. We made it just like a film, and we filmed it and had two semi-trailers worth of equipment to set up in my house. And, you know, back in 1983, it cost about $30,000 to make it. It was a lot of money then. And so MTV started playing it. You know, we sent it to MTV, and we didn't think they'd play it. And then they called and said, we really love this video, and we want to start playing it. So in 1983, when MTV embraced it, that was a big shot in the arm for it. And then... But in 1984, after MTV made it quite popular, is when we first got our record distribution deal with Epic Records at the time, which is now Sony.
Yeah. And was this an album, or was this just a single?
It was an album and a single. At first, I said they just wanted the single, and I had already made an album in 1982. And so they took the album and the single and the video, and in 1984 was the first year they put it out, and during the first 2 or 3 weeks of December, they sold 500,000 singles and over 500,000 albums, and they said that was their biggest selling record in December. And they also had Michael Jackson's Thriller that December, too.
Yeah. That's excellent. And were any of these other songs on this record and this album, were any of them as successful as Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
At the time, I hadn't been writing a lot of stuff yet. And so none of the other songs on that album, most of them were just, oh, Jingle Bells and some other traditional Christmas songs. There was another one called Percy the Puny Poinsettia that a lot of people liked. That was maybe second to Grandma, but a distant second. But, you know, since that album was out, I started writing a lot of songs, you know, about a few years later, and I've since put out about 10 albums of Christmas songs. And I think some of those are, I have a few songs that I think are equally as good as Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And another one written by Randy Brooks that I think is just as good. But once the Grandma song became established and, you know, everyone grabbed onto it so much, it was hard to, you know, it was hard to bring another song out of the box that people would want to listen to, because any programmer that wanted to program Christmas songs, if they wanted to program one song by me and one by Nat King Cole and one by Bing Crosby, they were always going to play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer by me, and probably wouldn't be looking any further down the list, even though I have a lot of other Christmas songs.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the program in 1983 that you produced, Grandma's Music?
Pardon?
Can you tell me about the Grandma's Music video that you produced?
Yes. I sort of wrote a script of the way I thought it should go, and then we set up my whole house, or just the living room of my house at the time, and we spent a week working all day long hanging the lights, so my house looked just like a studio. And then we hired a director, and also a photographer, same kind of photographer that films movies. And so we had those guys up there. We maybe had 25 or 30 people working on the crew. And so we shot two 18-hour days to get that 3.5 minutes of video.
That's amazing.
And the other thing is, I was feeling, when it was finished, I was having buyer's remorse because we hadn't sold any records and hadn't made any money yet. And I didn't know if we would. And I just spent that $30,000 on that video, maybe another $10,000 to make an album. And we hadn't made any money at all yet. And I just thought, wow. You know, I'm going to have to work hard at the veterinary hospital to pay for all this.
So you were kind of nervous at that time point.
I was very nervous, yeah.
And where did this air on TV, or was it a video? Like, where?
It first aired on MTV, and it's since it aired on MTV for 18 years until they're, you know, pretty much not running many videos anymore. But it's been, you know, this video is kind of a classic video nowadays.
Yeah.
And now it's on YouTube.
Can you tell me about what led up to the group, the Grey Panthers, picketing your concert in 1980?
Yes. When the song, you know, first became popular, we played on the radio, I got a job playing in San Francisco at this club called the Boarding House. And I was on the same bill with Asleep at the Wheel. So I was driving to the Boarding House, and I could see it about 5 or 6 blocks away, and I could see that there was a big crowd out front. And it sort of looked like I assumed they were waiting in line, you know, to get tickets to come in to see me. Although at that time, it was really rare for anybody to buy tickets at all to see me. And usually, you know, if we had an audience, there'd be a small one. But I looked down and saw all these people waiting outside, and some of them were milling around in the street. And I thought, wow, this could be a great night tonight, having all these people come to see me, even though most of them, I thought maybe were coming to see Asleep at the Wheel. But when I got up close, they all had picket signs that said, "Stay away from this concert. It's ageist, sexist, and violent against women." And so when I got out of the car to bring my guitar in, there was one person waving a sign right in front of me all the way that said, "What's so funny about a dead grandma?" And this was the Grey Panthers. And, of course, I thought, you know, I finally have a song that people are paying attention to, and now I have to stop singing it. But just the opposite happened. All the television stations came out and covered it that night, and then everyone the next day wanted to see what it was all about, and everyone was trying to buy the records. And I only had 500. We only had 500 records made, and I took them to Tower Records, and they sold them all in one day.
That's amazing. On the record, on the song "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer," next to you is a lady named Patsy, it's called, who's on the record.
Right.
Can you tell me about her?
Yes. Patsy was my wife. We haven't been together for 25 years, but we had a bluegrass act together, and she was a guitar player, and she sang all the serious songs, and I sang all the funny songs.
Yeah, because I think I've heard your record. I think on that "Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer," I think she's singing on that too.
That was the guitar player Gary Potterton did all the backup singing on that.
Oh, okay. I was just curious because it seems like you always hear more you than the girl and why her name was on there.
Yeah, actually, she didn't sing the funny songs, and when we made that record, Gary Potterton, the guy who produced it, he sang all the background vocals on it. So I wasn't singing along with Patsy, and she wasn't singing along with me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Can you tell me about what happened in 1986 when a disc jockey named Jack Daniels got fired for playing your song 27 times in a row?
Yes, he was in Davenport, Iowa, And he said that it was a bad year for the farmers, and he was going to try and cheer them up. So he played Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer 27 times in a row, and he got fired, and he made worldwide news for that. And I think they reinstated him. And we just spoke to Jack Daniels recently, and he has a different name now. That was just a radio name. And so now he... Now he's a piano tuner, and I think he still works in the music business somewhat.
Did he get another job?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's good.
I think after he became so popular, after they fired him, they hired him back at the station.
Yeah. What age group do you think the song Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is most popular with?
Boy, I think, well, most grandmas really like it. But I think younger children, you know, I think age group, you know, 2 years old, maybe to 18 years old is most popular, because most young people like to usually rebel against their parents' taste in music. And when, you know, when the grandma song came out, a lot of people thought, well, I mean, even nowadays they think, well, this song's been around for a long time, but, you know, Grandma getting throttled at Christmas is really pretty cool. So they think it's pretty funny. And so I think the younger generation are people, you know, who have kind of a young take on life are the biggest fans of the song.
Is it true that Grandma got turned into an animated movie?
Yes. Around 2000... I co-wrote the script for the movie, and I wrote all the songs in it. And I'm the narrator, and I play the part of Grandpa in the movie. You know, it's an animated movie, so I did the voice of Grandpa in the movie.
How did that experience go?
That was really fun. I got to be with. You know, a number of great voiceover people, and we recorded it in Canada, and then it was animated in Korea, and so it was a pretty fun experience making that movie.
That's amazing.
And it plays every year on the Cartoon Network, maybe 12 or 13 times, and plays a couple of times in prime time on the CW network.
I'm going to have to check the TV guide and watch that myself.
Yeah, it's going to come on, I think it's this Saturday.
Really?
December the 4th, I believe it'll be on, yes.
Yeah.
It'll play numerous more times, but that's the first showing this year.
How did the toy company Dandy come involved with your song?
They wanted to start making reindeer that would sing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And they've made, you know, and then they came to me and asked if they could use my recording of it. And, of course, I said yes. And so over the years, they've made tremendous numbers and sold them. It was just one of these things that it was a perfect fit. If you have a reindeer singing, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And so they have these plush toys. And some of them are in rocking chairs. And some of them are on motorcycles, and some of them are in Ford Mustangs. You know, there's just so many of these different toys. But the reindeer is always singing, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And fans of the song really love to have these as, you know, as a...
souvenirs.
Well, they're just great toys. They're really cute.
Yeah.
And the Dandy Company is a great company that makes really quality toys that last forever.
Is it true Hallmark released Dr. Elmo's keepsake ornament and greeting cards?
Yes. For probably 20 years, we've been trying to get Hallmark to do greeting cards with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. But they thought it was a little too outlandish, and they were a little afraid of it because it didn't have the complete traditional type of thing that Hallmark likes to go for. But then, you know, the song has been popular for so long, they decided to try it out. And So they did wonderfully selling cards that play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And then they put out these keepsake ornaments. And they're ones where they're, it's just a one-of-a-kind ornament. And they've, I think they maybe sold 50 or 100,000 of them last year. And now I'm not sure if you can get them again this year, but they might make a new one.
They have a Hallmark store down the street from here. I'll have to go check that out.
All right.
Yeah. How is it, how does it make you feel to be Sony BMG number two selling Christmas artist?
It makes me feel great. I'm second to Elvis. Elvis is really probably the biggest Christmas artist of all time. Maybe, you know, even bigger than Bing Crosby. But it's a great feeling. I'm really happy to be in such great company. I always idolized Elvis. I always loved Bing Crosby. I always loved Nat King Cole. All these people personified Christmas to me. And, you know, to be on the music charts, you know, and to be on the same record label and selling, you know, comparable amounts of records as they did is a wonderful feeling.
That must be. Is it true, when I was doing some homework on you, is it true that your song Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer surpassed Bing Crosby's White Christmas a few times?
Yes, in 1983, Billboard had a Christmas chart, and leading up, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks before December, I was number two on the Christmas chart behind Bing Crosby's White Christmas. And on, by the week of Christmas, you know, maybe December 23rd or so, I was number one on the Billboard chart. I still have that chart. And then for the next 3 to 5 years, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer was the number one song on Billboard's Christmas chart.
That must be an honor for you.
No, it was an honor.
Yeah.
I was honored then and still am.
It really is amazing me how this particular record that you made has really lived on through the years. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, when Gene Nelson went on vacation the first time in 1979, they stopped playing it. I thought, well, that was fun, but I guess it's over. The following year, 1980, you know, Gene Nelson, maybe two other stations played it, and I thought, well, that was kind of good, but it's over now. Every January 26th, I mean, every December 26th, I would think, well, you know, it's been a nice run. That's probably the end of it. And then, you know, each year I'd wonder if people were going to embrace it and the record the record company would put it out and if radio stations were going to play it again. And it, you know, slowly just became a tradition. And after 10 years, I still didn't know if it was still going to be played every year. And people would request it every year, and they play it every year. And after 15 years, someone called me up one day and said, you know, we're having a concert called the Jingle Bell Rock Concert in Cincinnati. And is there anybody there that can play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? And I said, yeah, I can play it. And so that was one of the first times after 15 years that I had the opportunity to play on a major concert, you know, and play my song. And, of course, when I played it there, everybody knew it, to my surprise, because I didn't know how big it was, you know, nationally or worldwide. You can't tell when you're just, like, in one place. But and soon after that, I started playing at a lot of oldies concerts, you know, with every musical idol that I've ever known, and got to meet them in person backstage. You know, Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sam Moore of Sam and Dave, and, you know, the Drifters and the Crystals, and all these great musical acts that I loved and grew up with. Then I found myself being backstage with them. It was so exciting to meet them.
Yeah, I'm actually a little jealous of you right now. That's cool.
Yeah. But, it's really, really so much fun. And a lot of these people, are so down to earth and so much fun, and they were so nice and welcoming to me.
That's cool. And are you busy throughout the year, or is this really the only time you're busy through the year?
Well, this is a time where I do a lot of interviews and performances and things like that. But we're busy all year long. Usually in January, I start writing songs and recording them. Usually spend maybe 3 months writing and recording songs, and then it's just become a cottage industry, the grandma's phenomena.
Yeah.
So we're busy all year long now.
That's excellent. Can you tell me about Dr. Elmo's Twisted Christmas that aired on the Late Night Show with David Letterman?
Yes. I have a song on there called The Junk Bond Blues, and David Letterman played that song on his show one night a couple of years ago. That was really exciting. And he mentions me from time to time, you know, as being maybe, you know, he says, you know, and he has some funny things he said about me.
That's cool. Can you tell me about the new iPhone app and the Time Life Bluegrass Christmas CD?
Yes, I can. The iPhone app is a new app just out this year, and it has a skeet shooting game where you can shoot, instead of shooting clay pigeons, you shoot fruitcake. And then there's also a geese that fly by, and you can shoot at the geese. That's one of the games. And then there's another game where you can dunk Santa in the ice. It has a pitching machine, but instead of pitching baseballs, it pitches glass eyes at the target, and if you hit the target, you can dunk Santa, and other targets are reindeer and the sleigh and grandma as well. And then there's and then it has three activities. There's a postcard that you can send with any of one of my songs on it. Like if you want to send a postcard to someone, you can just go on there, choose a song, and then send them a postcard with one of my songs. But it's a pretty fun holiday app. I think it's one of the few holiday apps that's out right now. And I think it's a really fun thing. And most apps just have one thing that they do. But this app has five different things on it. So it's a great one to get for Christmas.
That's great. Can you tell my listeners where you'll be appearing during this holiday season?
Yes, I'm going to be on Good Day New York on December 17th, and I'm going to be on WGN in Chicago on December the 8th. And now there's various other shows that will be more local that I'm going to be on. I'm going to be on Fox, the National Fox Business Network, on December the 15th, I believe.
That's excellent.
December 16th.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. What are your plans for 2011?
Probably write and record some more songs. My immediate plans will be go to Hawaii for about 3 weeks right after Christmas. That's become a tradition with me as well.
Yeah, you're probably going to need a vacation after all this work you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Elmo, I'm just about ready to wrap up. If there's anything, is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
I think that would be it. You know, it's been really a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.